As we prepare to read from God's word, let us pray that he will bless our hearing and understanding of it. Lord our God, we pray that you would speak to us now through your word and by your Holy Spirit, so that we would hear your voice speaking to us, to lead us and guide us as we seek to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. I'm reading this morning from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is found on page 627 in the Bibles in the pews, if you'd like to follow along there. Although many of you probably know these verses. I was visiting with a former school teacher at WCS, and she said that this was first grade memory work in her day. So, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. This is the word of the Lord. This week at Choir Fest, the theme has been Trust in the Lord. And that drew my thoughts towards Proverbs 3, which we have just read. This is one of my dad's favorite passages. And so it's one that I have known and loved for a long time. There's also an old pun, a bad joke that I don't quite remember about not leaning on your own understanding and thinking about your feet. But I can't quite remember it, so somebody will have to help me out with that one after the service. It has always spoken to me about depending on God for everything that we need, for being sure that he will take care of us. And while that's true, there is more than meets the eye with these two short verses. In fact, the more you think about it, the more surprising these words might become. Think about the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is a book dedicated to learning the art of living well. It's dedicated to being wise, to being smart, to learning how to use your brain. And so later on in the book, we hear these words, "The one who considers a matter will find what is good." That is, if you think things through, it works out better for you. That is the basic message of Proverbs. That's the way that it typically works. That kind of sounds like the advice that we get from our parents, like, if you save up your money, then you can get what you really want. Or if you study a little bit each day, you won't have to cram for the test on the night before. Or, of course you'll get a stomach ache if you eat a whole bag of marshmallows. Think a little. This is the way we talk. And this is the way that Proverbs usually talks. Use your brain, it says. And then Proverbs 3 verse 5 doesn't say that. In fact, it questions the wisdom of making your own plans. And here's how it does so. First it says, trust God with your brain. And now you're going to quibble with me a little bit because I read and we read, trust in the Lord with all your heart. But for the ancient Israelites, your heart was the core of your decision-making process. That is, you think with your heart, you choose with your heart. They don't think of thinking with your brain. That's what your heart is for. So your plans and your thoughts come from the heart. And so biblical characters like David will say things in their heart, and that means this is what they were thinking. And so here in Proverbs 3, verse 5, we're talking about how do you think? And the message that we get is don't rely on your own smarts. That is, don't trust your best plans and your best intentions. The NIV says, lean not on your own understanding, which is a really nice way of getting at what the original Hebrew said, because that verb means to lean, and it gets used that way, for leaning on things. So one of the last pictures of King Saul at the end of 1 Samuel is Saul on the battlefield, weary and exhausted, and he's leaning on his spear. That's his prop. That's what's keeping him still standing. That's the same word for how you would lean on your own understanding. If you know the story of Naaman, the Syrian army commander who Elisha cured of leprosy, he's described as the officer upon whose arm the king leaned, that same word. That is, he is his right-hand man, to use the English phrase. We find a few chapters later that the king of Israel had the same kind of guy, the same guy that you lean on, the same one that you can trust to support you, the same one that you can trust to get things done. And that's what we would do with our own thinking. This is what we lean on. Well, of course I'm going to do what makes sense to me. Of course I'm going to do my best to lean on my own understanding. I'm not going to do the things that don't make sense to me. But that's what Proverbs is talking about. Lean not on your own understanding. And we protest because normally this is not a bad thing to do. Normally it makes sense to make good plans and try to think things through. So why does Proverbs 3 not say doing that and say we should do that? Well, because our intelligence is limited. Sometimes we might make decisions that are more self-serving than smart. That is, we know what we ought to do, and we choose what we want to do instead. We tell ourselves that this is the best way, but we kind of know that it really isn't. So we might decide to study while we watch a football game on TV. It doesn't really work. I've tried it. Or we start building something without checking to see that all the parts came in the boxes that they were supposed to come in, because it just wastes time to count all of the things, even though that's the first step in the instructions. And then you get to step 17, and you're short a piece. Other times, there's stuff that we just don't know about until it's too late. You make plans to go to the beach 3 weeks from now, not knowing that there will be a freakish cold snap. Or you plant your garden, not knowing how fast or slow things will grow, and everything matures while you're on vacation. You plan to wear a certain outfit for the first day of school, not knowing that two of your classmates have chosen the same outfit. Oh, the horror. To all of this, Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, don't rely on your own brain, because you don't know everything. Your plans are not perfect. Your plans are not infallible. So instead it says, in all your ways acknowledge Him. In other words, trust God. And we might wonder, well, why do we do that? Is trusting God really going to fix poor wardrobe choices or bad study habits? And if we're honest, the answer is really only maybe. There are situations that no matter how much you trust on God, you're still going to be in that situation. And so we wonder, is this really going to work? Well, Proverbs 3 verse 6 talks about God directing our paths, or more literally, making our paths straight. And that could sound like a promise of success. If the obstacles are cleared out of the path, then why wouldn't we succeed? But making our path straight could also simply mean making our path good or upright. In fact, I think that's probably the better way to understand the Hebrew words involved. And that sounds more typical, more pious. God will make your paths good, not make your paths successful. As Mother Teresa once said, God has not called us to be successful, but to be faithful. What is Proverbs 3 verse 6 promising? It's promising that God will put us in the right place, the place where we ought to be, without promising that God will put you in the place that you want to be. So how do we trust God with our thinking and not lean on our own understanding? It doesn't mean that we should stop thinking or planning. In fact, we still need to think probably more than we actually do. But there are ways to include God in our thinking, and this is what Proverbs 3 is after. So it calls us to open up our thinking to God. There is a risk that we run when we spend all of our time thinking about ourselves or what we think is important. We can get stuck in our own heads, our own worries or fears, our own goals and ambitions, our own past, for good or bad. We can develop one-track minds that are focused on sports or music or getting our kids into the best college. Whatever that track is, that becomes our track, and that's where we are and that's where we remain. Proverbs says, open up your thinking to God. And Paul in Philippians 4 might suggest something about how we do that when Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence or if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. That is, Paul says, open up your eyes, open up your mind to the beauty of what God has made. See the good things that He has put in this world. Get out of that track that your mind is in, whatever track it might be, and recognize what God is doing. There needs to be space in our thinking for God. And there needs to be space in our plans for God. We don't always think about where God wants us to be or what God wants us to be doing, but we should. There are times when this comes more naturally to us, often when we're at a crossroads and decisions are necessary. Your class schedule for the next semester needs to be figured out. You need to declare a major in college. You need to find a job. You're buying a house. You're trying to decide whether your significant other is the person you want to spend the rest of your life with. These are moments where we do make those big decisions. And we know that we should think about God in those moments. It's a little tougher, perhaps, when it's not a crisis. It's a little tougher when it's a little thing. Should I go talk to that person that I've never met before? But we need to have room for God in our plans. So how do we open ourselves up to God in that way? We pray and ask God for guidance. Sometimes I think we ask the questions and don't think about, now how is God going to answer my question? In what way is He going to speak to me? My little sister and her husband were considering whether he was supposed to go back to seminary, go to school, become a pastor. And he thought so, but my sister wasn't sure. Well, they had decided that they were going to give it a shot. So they decided the first thing that they needed to do was to put their house on the market. And they were going on a Saturday afternoon to a football game, and they were putting the house on the market. That morning, they had offered it, put it on the market. And my little sister says she prayed, God, if it's really your will that we go to seminary, could the house sell this week? And then she said she immediately prayed after that. And if I'm putting you to the test by saying this, disregard my last prayer. They got back from the football game and there was an offer on their house. How does God answer? How is God going to answer when we ask for His guidance? Is it as simple as that? Is it as straightforward as that? Probably not always, but sometimes it is. Sometimes not only do we need to ask God to guide us, we need to ask for how God will guide us, and then we need to listen for His answer. I always get frustrated when my boys ask me a question and don't give me time to actually answer it. I think we do that sometimes as well, that we ask God for something and we don't wait for Him to answer. The book of James in the New Testament reminds us to make space for God in our plans. Instead of just making our plans, James encourages us to say, now if this is God's will, if this is what God wants, then we will do this or that or the next thing. So in James, we make our best plans, but we need to leave them open to the changes that God will make to them. So again, that's how we might trust God with our minds. But let's get back, and in closing, let's think about why should we trust God with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. I already suggested the negative side of this, that we do this because we can't be trusted. But there's always stuff that we don't know, or that we might be telling ourselves what we want to hear, or that there are circumstances outside our control. All that negative stuff is true. But then there is the positive side. we have someone that we can trust. We have someone that we can lean on. And this is the story of the life of faith, a story that many of us can tell with our own experiences, our own examples. That life rarely goes as we would have planned it. That the roads that we thought would be straight ended up with U-turns and sharp turns. And we ended up in places that we never would have imagined. Many of us have struggles that we can talk about. Loved ones who died too soon. The times when we scrambled to make ends meet. Times when we looked for and didn't find the work we thought we wanted to do. The love of our lives. Whatever it might be. We bear the scars of ordinary life. But for many of us, if we look back, we can see that God has been there in the middle of it. We can see that He guided us eventually, or that He protected us. That we are where we are. We are here because of God's grace. We have someone that we can lean on. Experience teaches us that it's not always easy. Experience teaches us that we can always get better at doing it. But experience teaches us that we have someone that we can lean on. We have a God, we have a Savior, and He has been there, and He will be there. And that's why we trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Amen. Let us pray. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, guide and direct us as we follow You. Encourage us, strengthen our faith, help us to trust in You, to live with You, to learn from You. Lead and guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to sing.